Mr. Hall, they were real four.
This particular sharpshooter gun from the Russians, first of all, you could put 15 bullets in, and you the night glass, what was on already fixed, you pressed against your eye and across. It was every time a hit, providing you did line up properly. Whereas the German one, you had to slide that on, and you had to try it out, and there were only 10 shots in, and it was just the a carabiner, what we call the carabiner, 98K, which means short, Colts. That was first of all the long rifle, and then they made it shorter, and that is exactly the same one. So it wasn't that good. Later on, they brought better ones out, in particular then the so-called Fallschirmjägergewehr, which was excellent. Again, with the Russian one, I have seen them chappies from quite a far distance shooting anybody out of a tree. And again, when you see 900 days encirclement of Stalingrad, you will see that also in the film, where they just come down as it's fantastic sharpshooting. They were fantastic sharpshooters.
Was there any equipment which you had on the River Neva which was superior to the Russian equipment?
I should say the 88mm gun, which is actually a anti-aircraft gun, and then they had to use this and make special ammunition for anti-tank warfare, because the 7.5mm, they weren't good enough, they didn't penetrate. So in that particular field we definitely were better, the aircrafts were better what we had than the Russians. The manpower what they had was superior to us.
Why was the manpower superior?
Well, they had so many. You see, they attacked. I remember coming up, jumping the gun and going to 43, to 44. On the 22nd of December 43, we were by Kirovograd, we attacked there, and on the 24th, the Russians then attacked again, 4-7-11. So I said to our commanding officer, "Oh, we have six attacks today. How do you make that out?" I said, 4-7-11, 4-7-11, and so it was. It was 4-7-11 in the morning and 4-7-11 at night. And that went on till the 5th of January, and then they broke through. And we shot 183 tanks with our guns, which we had pinched in Italy from the Italians. Hitler had given to Mussolini. He gave him 36 for his birthday, on his birthday, four guns. We only could find three, so we took them to Russia, and it was a godsend to us. So
we'll come on to that later, to say more about Russia later on. But this time on the Neva, you were telling me that you were wounded. You were shot in the hand.
Yeah.
Can you continue with the story?
Well, I went up and we went forward, and all what I can remember was a flash of lightning. And when I woke up, that was 2 days later, I was in hospital in a Posteljuk 6, there were only wooden shacks, more or less, that was. And then from there you went into a proper hospital. And I went to Krasnovodsk, from Krasnovodsk to Riga, and from there to Marienburg in Danzig, West Prussia. And there I got operated on, and then I went on leave. I was still more or less paralyzed from the waist down through my back, also injury onto back.
How did you injure your back?
Well, I don't know. That were also maybe shrapnel things, you know what. And I went on leave and then came back, and then we regrouped. And we went, we regrouped, that is now 42. We went then to France, to Coutances in the Normandy. In the Normandy...
Could I just stop you there, because yes. we're going ahead a bit too fast. If I can go back to Russia, what were the living conditions for you like in Russia?
We had plenty of food. The bread was frozen, and we thought that was very dangerous. Today it is no more, because bread keeps when it is frozen, isn't it? And that time we didn't know that. You see, we had to throw our bread out, what we got. The food was okay. In Schlüsselburg, if we wanted nails, we went into families and they gave us nails and we gave them food.
These were Russian families?
They were Russian families. And I didn't speak any Russian. And they always have somebody who used a little bit of... And personally, I felt very, very sorry for the Russians, because they didn't have much themselves. They didn't have much. They were... in villages, yes, they had. Still old story. A village, they have then a cellar, and then they have this, that, and other stored away. Whereas we didn't have much contact with Russians. We didn't.
Were the Russians
at that particular time, no.
Were the Russians in 41 friendly or unfriendly?
Those which we met in Schlüsselburg, they were friendly. They weren't nasty to us. They weren't nasty. They were Russians. I think they would have definitely done everything possible to help another Russian soldier and so on. That is for sure.
Were you able to keep warm in 1941 on the
river? Yeah, I got on the 12th of November, I got wounded. We had good clothes. We still had good clothes. And then I got wounded, it didn't matter to me, I came out. My unit, they came back in December. They were pulled out because they were decimated, where it did belong to. And I did see somewhere halfway on, in the railway line, and I was then in a Red Cross wagon there, you know, in the railway. And I could see them there, and then they came. And I remember a doctor, Stabsas Dr. Grievel, he says, "Well, my dear boy, that little bit of finger what you have, that has to come off." And then in Riga they operated, and then they operated again and again. And
did you expect Leningrad to fall at that time?
We thought it would. We definitely thought it would. I didn't. And I haven't seen this, or I have heard it said of other Germans which could see through what we call the Schirnfernrohr, German prisoners of war working there. You could see that. I haven't seen this. That is from hearsay.
Now, I interrupted you with you saying that you went to Coutances in France.
Coutances, yeah.
What happened there?
Well, we regrouped in Coutances, and from there we came then back to Germany, to Munsterlager, and that is where I met them two British soldiers, you know, Dick and Ben, and hello, and that is the last time I did see him. And from there we went then as parachute troopers over to Africa, under the parachute brigade Ramke.
Did you go by ship?
Well, no, we did fly down to Athens, from Athens over to Tobruk, and from Tobruk we went by Anhalter, you know, you summed the lift to the front line. It's unbelievable, that is a fact.
This was in July 42,
yes. And we came,
Africa.
Yes. And we came forward to Mazamatru, and then to El Alamein, and we went right down.
Why did you have to thumb a lift?
there was no
lorries.
No lorries. The lorries what took stuff there, so and so many. The military police stopped there, you know. They came out of the harbour and so on, taking stuff. And the chappie or the driver might have said 3, 5, 2, and so on. And that is how they went down. And so you went forward. And at night you had to do also guard duty, and then you came to Masamatru, and then we came further on. And Romo, he divided the brigade completely. The brigade staff and our battalion went to the Salt Lake, you know, where Al Qatara, that low-lying part in Egypt. That's where we were. And I remember on the 4th of August...
This is the Qatara Depression.
Yes, the Al Qatara Depression, yes. And I remember on the 4th of August, Rommel came and he says, tonight there's an attack. And remember, under no circumstances can you go back. You have to keep this. And that night we were attacked by the Canadians. Canadian troops were there. And we kept this. And we still wondered, how the heck did he know what happened?
Can you describe the Canadian attack?
They came at 11 o'clock at night. Was very fierce. First of all, enormous gun barrage, and then they came out, and they got stuck there. They couldn't go any further because the minefield, which partially they had laid themselves, they couldn't get through. And then a few days later, I did see an air battle between two fighter planes, and one got shot down, and this British pilot, he came down in the no man's land. He was near to us than to them. So we collected them. And that is the first time I have seen condensed milk, unsweetened condensed milk, being used on his burn wounds. Now, in them days, I don't know if that is the right way. Or we should have had the condensed milk tins, you know. We didn't get it. It went on to save his life. He was flown away with a fieseless dog, and the doctor who operated him on did everything, 2 hours later he got a grenade splinter through his chest and he dead, fell over dead. That is spoils of war. For stabs as Dr. Griebel, that was his name.
What did you think of Rommel, you and your comrades?
We didn't like him. We admired enormously Field Marshal Monty. We didn't like Rommel.
Why was that?
Well, because he was all for his Afrika Corps. And he didn't say anything. It was the anti-aircraft gunners which did the damage. It was only his Afrika Corps, not them chappies, what actually did the work.
So you weren't part of the Afrika Corps?
No, we were there, you see. We didn't belong to the Afrika Corps. We did get then the Afrika armband, you know, this Ärmelstreifen, what we call it, armband. Also one for Creed being there. No, we didn't like Rommel at all.
Because you thought he discriminated against
him. Yes. And you see, when El Alamein started, the Battle of El Alamein started, never in my life have I seen a bigger gun barrage than what was put on us at that time. And Rommel came and says, you will be attacked, and for you there is no retreat. You have to take one third of your ammunition to defend and two thirds for the counterattack. And after 3 days, no water, we only got very, very little water over there, half a litre water a day, and the other, you should have a litre, and the other half litre, they said, is in your food. you know, and bread and biscuits and soup and so on. That's all what you got. Washing completely out. Mind you, you had always clean teeth because it's the sand. Keeps them clean, isn't it? White. And he came then and told us this, and then after 3 days, I remember it to this day, well, then we had to march. We only could march at night, and during the day we had to put dig in.
Was this the retreat from?
Yeah, the retreat. Alamein? Yes, a retreat. And we should have come out and Marza Matru, because Papa Ramke, he says, we in Germany is still a little bit green, and the Christmas trees will still be up. And to get there, we can't march over there over that ridge. There is our transport. And it was a British convoy, which we then took. And then we parted bits by bits because eventually I got... And that is the first time in my life I had a British steel helmet on and was waving to the fighter bombers because they were looking for us. I was on a 1,500 weight truck, and we went down in the sand just shortly before Marza Matru. No, before Fuka is an aerodrome there. Well, aerodrome is sand, isn't it? There's no buildings there whatsoever. Sand. And we took it out, blankets on the push, it was all right. And I took my glasses up and I looked through, and I could see our regimental sergeant major with his hands up.
Surrender.
Yes, that was already in British hands. If I would have known what I know today, I would have put them down, I would have gone over there as well. I would have landed in the German prisoner of war camp 306 in Cairo. And I would have saved Russia twice, Italy and France.
Just going back, when you're in those positions in August where the Canadians attacked you on the Katara Depression, which units were either side of you then?
They were all... they were Africa Corps. No, on one side there was the 90th Light Infantry Division. Apparently to 90% they were all former French legionnaires. I mean, Germans are French legionnaires on one side, because they got decimated, they bombed, they put a carpet there and they bombed them. And on the left-hand side was also Africa Corps. No, they were the Italians, the Black Shirts. Now, they were good fighting troops, they were not bad, others were. They were not, no. You couldn't rely on them.
But you could rely on the Black Shirt troops?
Yes, they were not bad, they were good fighting troops. Yes.
And then you were shifted from those positions, were you?
Yes.
That you were in August. Where were your positions moved to?
Well, we moved back from there, you see, and then we came then under Sollum and Upper Sollum, which is on the Halfaya Pass. Now, Under Sollum is in Egypt, Upper Sollum is already in Libya. And we came up there and we went back. I got wounded there, and then we came back to Derna, and from Derna I was flown back to Brindisi in Italy. It's on the eastern tip, from Brindisi over to Napoli, and from Napoli by train to Germany.
But were you in the line, in the German line, in October 1942, when the British bombardment before Alamein occurred? Whereabouts in the German line were you?
That's also down there under El Katara. El Katara.
What do you remember about the start of the bombardment?
Oh, it was terrible. And oddly enough, you know, it's unbelievable. We have heard 140 odd ships have come through the Suez Canal. And that is what the, you know, the so-called bush telephone. And every day, more gunfire, more fighters, more aircrafts, more bombs. And it was true. And Field Marshal Rommel, he built it up in such a fine art, and when he had enough, then he attacked. And remember, apparently in some districts, there were 20 guns to one German gun. It's enormous. And then the tanks were quite good, the Germans.
What did you do when the bombardment occurred? Were you in a slit trench?
Yes. You try to to cover yourself up wherever you can, and then you don't bother no more. I mean, this particular thing, you see, there is some... I haven't seen one of the paratroopers being shell-shocked. I have seen some being shell-shocked, yes. And no paratroopers were from my unit, none.
Why do you think there was a difference?
Well, maybe it's the hard training what we have got, and so you didn't care no more. You see, it's like walking. Oh, don't walk there. He still went. He didn't bother. You didn't bother no more. You had enough in a certain field, you know, in that particular way. And Rommel, he came when we went up the Hellfire Pass. He says, "I greet you, my brave paratroopers." Nobody gave him a salute. We just went on. We didn't bother about him. Because he definitely did sell us short. There again, you see, that's only hearsay. I do not know anything about official. Or apparently, we should have gone over to Africa and from there jumped in, you know, parachuted into Alexandria. That was actually the main aim for it, and it didn't happen. Now, how true it is, I do not know. Only know that from hearsay. It might have been just a hearsay, it might have been true. Because most likely he wanted that particular part, Rommel.
So the paratroopers snubbed Rommel at the Hellfire Pass then?
Eban?
Did they snub Rommel at the
Hellfire Pass? Yeah, we did. We definitely did. We did, that is for sure.
Coming back to the bombardment, you say that nobody got shell shock there, but were casualties caused amongst the paratroopers?
Yes, we have had some casualties. Well, we also had so many dead. Now, how many, that is impossible to say now, because I mean it was the brigade staff, it was our battalion, and there was another half battalion there. And see, so you don't really know.
And then was an attack launched immediately afterwards?
No, we couldn't attack because there was nothing to attack for. You know, they already have overawed everything. The British troops overawed everything and went on. They left us there completely.
So you were bypassed?
Yeah, bypassed, yes. Well, and you had to fight your way back. So if you didn't want to be in captivity, then you had to march at night and dig in during the day. And then till we came then on the Hellfire Pass, and then we came up there, and then, like I said, I got wounded. I got wounded in an ankle.
How did that happen?
I think, again, it will have been a shrapnel. And now, that wouldn't have sent me back to Germany. The only thing that sent me back to Germany was I got paralysis of... the guy that's here, you know, the
throat?
Yes, you know, here, the speak box, you know, the guy that's there.
The vocal cord.
Vocal cord. And so they sent you, if you change your climate, it comes back, and which it did. It comes back ever so quick. That's why I was sent back, otherwise I would have stayed over there, would have been a prisoner of war over there, most certainly.
Which was the worst fighting for you, Crete or Leningrad or North Africa?
The worst fighting for me was Kirovograd.
This was later on?
Yeah, that was then 43 to 44.
But which of those...
Also the Volturna Bent was very, very bad, the Volturna Bent in Italy.
But which of the three early ones was the worst?
I think on the River Neva, that was worse. That was worse for me, because in Crete you got so many killed, that is true. There you got so many maimed, That is enormous in 5 days. 500 men, just imagine. It's terrible.
Can we pick up the story with you going back after you've been wounded in North Africa and what happened to you after that?
Well, I came to Goslar, still being to convalesce, got then special leave to go home. And then the majority of my unit was kept over in Africa. And eventually got captured. Not everybody came back. And then with the so-called ZB-500, which came from Russia to back, we formed then the new battalion, again in brackets, assault, because we were again, this particular 1,050 firepower. And it was, our commander was Hübner, Hauptmann Hübner, and then he became major. And from there we went again to France, Bordeaux region there, But if they took us anywhere like to France, then they will have brought us somewhere near the coast, so use us then straight off if something happened as a defense force. Very simple. First of all, you're trained, and then you're also like straight off a defense force, isn't it? And from there we came back, and we went to Italy. That was 43 now. You see, we went in Rome, and then we went down to the Volturna Bend. We came back from the Volturna Bend, and we were Anzio isn't far away from there. You see, it's between Rome and Albano, and there's also an aerodrome there, and we were on the right-hand side. And we got some, those which we lost down at the Volturna Bend, got replaced with young soldiers, and then from there we went to Russia.
Can you describe the fighting in Italy at Volturna?
Very, 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 very sharp. Very, very sharp, because you see the fighter bombers and what we call the Jabos, fighter bombers, Jabos, they were enormous. You couldn't walk on the road, even if you had if you were on a bicycle, they would have come down and shot at you. That is for sure. The firepower of the Allied forces was enormous. And even to this day, I can't understand why they didn't achieve more in that particular time. Because, I mean, they were far, far superior to the German forces. I could never understand it. Even with Anzio, I mean, they landed, they should have gone on. Now, Rome was an open city. I couldn't have gone into Rome in uniform. Straight off the military police would have grabbed me. You had to be in civilian clothes to go into Rome. If you wanted to see the Holy Father, which you could do, you had to be in civilian clothes. I mean, you used your army boots, and I mean, the Holy Father, Pope Pius XII, he knew exactly, he spoke perfect German,